I'm sorry, I can't seem to get the adjustment of this overhead very well, but I just wanted you to have some idea of some of the locations from where the earliest evidence for Vaishnava art comes from. The earliest evidence is from a site here in what we call ancient Bactria, the site of Aykhanum, which is today in northern Afghanistan and unfortunately completely destroyed. That has provided us with the earliest evidence of Vaishnava imagery. And the other important sites, of course, are Mathura, with which I'm sure all of you are very familiar, and central India. This whole region here has provided us with both early as well as Gupta period Vaishnava iconography, and there will be some objects from this region as well that we will be seeing today. And we can come back to this map from time to time. Oops, sorry, I better not do that. In this paper today, I would like to focus my attention on the development of the Vaishnava cult during the early historical period, that is, between the 2nd century BCE and the 5th century CE, or if you prefer, from the post-Mauryan to the Gupta periods. My study is based upon the extant material evidence that is available for this period, and I use archaeological, art historical, numismatic, and epigraphic evidence, as well as seals where available. This material is derived from my doctoral dissertation on the origins of Indian cult icons, in which I also study material from the Bronze Age, as well as Buddhist, Jain, and all the Brahminical deities who were important during the early historical period. Some cult deities developed their iconographies earlier than others, depending on various circumstances. I'm speaking here from the point of view of iconography and the evidence of the extant images alone. Many of these gods and goddesses were known from much earlier times within the textual traditions. However, I will consider the factors which influenced the development of the Vaishnava iconographies. Let us now look at the emergence of the iconography of the Hindu cult deity Vishnu from the early images of Vasudeva Krishna. My focus in this paper will be primarily in the images of Vasudeva Krishna, since they are popular during the early historical period, coinciding with the time of the Bhagavad Gita around the 2nd century BCE and the development of the concept of bhakti to Krishna. A popular cult developed around Vasudeva Krishna and the other members of his family, including Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Samba, and Aniruddha, all of whom were deified and worshipped as the Panchaviras of the Vrishni clan. The hero cult was replaced by the Vyuha or emanation doctrine, which became the central belief of the Pancharatra school. Under the Pancharatras, members of the divine family were worshipped as different aspects of Para Vasudeva. The Vyuha doctrine developed simultaneously with the concept of incarnations in the Kushan and post-Kushan phase. Subsequent development resulted in the composite cult of Vasudeva Vishnu Narayana. According to Banerjee, the Pancharatrans worshipped images of their supreme deity rather than symbols. This could explain the early production of Vaishnava cult images. Alternatively, it may constitute a retrospective explanation of the importance of the cult image in ritual worship within Vaishnavism. What I want to emphasize is that in comparison to the other sectarian traditions within South Asia, the Vaishnava tradition did start creating cult images earlier than most of the others. The earliest evidence of Vasudeva Krishna images is found on coins. I'm sorry, can you just switch off the slide projector? I think there's a button at the back. No, there's a button. Yeah. Thank you. The earliest evidence of Vasudeva Krishna images is found on coins. However, they come from the periphery of India in ancient Bactria. And just to reinforce the fact, they come from here, from the site of Alkhanum. Because the historical context of the production of the coins is well known, they can be dated quite precisely. The earliest images of the Vaishnav pantheon occur on these bilingual square silver coin series of the Indo-Greek king Agathocles. They were uncovered during French excavations at the site of Alkhanum on the confluence of the Oxus at Kokcha. Agathocles ruled over parts of Afghanistan, eastern Gandhara and western Punjab, including the city of Taxila, around 190 to 180 BCE. Only six examples of this coin series were found, and unfortunately, it's very sad to say that these very precious coins today are lost. We don't know where they've gone. It is likely to have included a special Indian issue portraying the main deities of the early Vasudeva cult. Bernard assigns the series to the mint at Taxila. The obverse depicts a standing facing figure dressed in a pleated skirt-like lower garment whose upper body is covered with an uttariya. Both hands are raised. It's this one. He appears to stand on a low platform. In the right hand, he holds up a pestle or musala, while his left hand raises the plowshare or hala. He wears boots turned up at the toes. His feet point sharply to left and right. He has a large sword scabbard strapped to his body, which hangs down to his left side. The figure wears kundala-type hanging earrings and an elaborate headdress attached with ribbons, of which only the ends are visible. His head seems shaded by a parasol. Fussman believes that the engraver misinterpreted the headdress with the parasol while copying them from an Indian prototype of the 2nd century BCE. A Greek legend gives us the name of the king, which is Agathocles. Bernard originally identified the figure as Shiva. Filioza and Narayan proposed Sankarsana Balaram because the figure holds a musala and hal. The interpretation is now generally accepted. On the reverse, is a frontally standing figure of similar dress and posture. His bare torso is covered by an uttariya, and he wears a skirt-like lower garment. He too is shod in turned-up boots, kundalas, and an elaborate headdress attached with ribbons with an umbrella above it. He also has a sword strapped to his left side and grasps a spoked wheel in his left hand. It is not clear what he holds in the right hand positioned in front of his body, although it is conch shell shaped. In later times, this becomes one of the attributes of Vishnu. Again, the legend on the reverse gives the king's name, but now it is in Brahmi. Bernard interpreted this figure to be Vishnu. Filioza and Narayan called him Vasudeva through association with his brother Sankarsana on the obverse. These coins feature the earliest known representations of Sankarsana and Vasudeva. Although it is theoretically conceivable that the coin images imitated sculptural prototypes, no sculpted images of comparable date, that is early 2nd century BCE, have so far been found. It is more likely that these images appeared first on coins. Moreover, the iconography of Vasudeva appears experimental since it does not conform to the established formulae. The swords by their sides point to the martial aspect of both Sankarsana and Vasudeva. This links them to the warrior Krishna of the Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita, a work which is contemporary with the coins but much earlier than mature Vaishnav iconography. Besides the Agathocles issues, Indian coins have yielded little early Vaishnav iconography. A bronze series of the Indo-Greek king Menander depicts a wheel or chakra on the obverse. However, the cultic affiliation of the chakra has not yet been satisfactorily explained. established. Sorry, Balaram holds a plowshare and club on a bronze square series of the Indo-Scythian king Mauis of the beginning of the 1st century BCE. On the reverse of another bronze round coin type stands a figure who holds a wheel in its left hand and whose right is outstretched. The figure has generally been identified as a goddess wearing a turreted headdress. No such goddess holding a wheel is known. The image may, however, depict Vasudeva Krishna. This is corroborated if we accept that his brother Balaram is portrayed on the other series. In other words, these coins would then reflect the popularity of Vasudeva in Taxila, where Mauis was based. In fact, Vasudeva's cult is already attested on the evidence of the Agathocles, which coins which might have been minted there. However, until further corroborative evidence is unearthed linking this figure to Vasudeva Krishna, we cannot be certain about his identity. Let us now turn to indigenous coinage. Banerjee holds the wheel on the reverse of a unique silver issue of the Vrishni Rajanya Gana of around the 1st century BCE represents Vishnu's Sudarshana Chakra. The Sudarshana Chakra is the most important symbol of Vishnu's solar origin in the Vedas. Some punched mark coins of the Amravati hoard depict a figure holding a spoked wheel in the right hand. According to Bernard, this is Vasudeva Krishna. P.L. Gupta has identified Balaram on some post-Mauryan punched marked coins. A Panchal coin of Vishnu Mitra, which is the coin here, around the end of the 1st century BC, features a standing, facing, anthropomorphic figure. In his raised left hand, he holds a chakra, while his raised right hand could hold a lotus bud. Sections that hang below the raised arms could be the ends of the Uttariya. The obverses of all the Panchal coins bear the theophoric name of the king. Hence, the image on the reverse must be a representation of Vishnu. With the exception of these coins, few numismatic representations of Vasudeva or Vishnu have survived, even from Mathura, where his cult was important. The early Mathura coins instead, in fact, depict the goddess Lakshmi. On Kushan coinage too, Vishnu is largely absent. However, before the Kushan ruler Vasudeva I reverted to depictions of Vaisho or Shiva on the rest of his coinage, he issued only one series of gold coins of his namesake Vasudeva. Labeled Bazdeo in Bactrian, they depict a frontally standing, haloed, four-armed deity who grasps a mace in his lower right hand and a conch in his lower left. His upper left holds a disc, and his upper right, what could be a thunderbolt or a bag of riches. The king on the obverse sacrifices at a fire altar. The scarcity of Vasudeva or Vishnu images in the Indian numismatic field heightens the importance of the earliest Vaishnav coins images on the coins of Agathocles. Evidence from Panini and Patanjali indicates that the cult of Vasudeva gained prominence by the 2nd century BCE. Further proof of the early existence of the Vasudeva cult stems from the rock engravings found at Chilas II based in the northern areas of Pakistan. Vasudeva Krishna and Sankarsana Balaram appear twice on these rocks. In the light of the general paucity of such early images, this is significant. The first engraving in group 1 depicts two anthropomorphic figures. I'm sorry, this is very unclear here, but this is a drawing. Two anthropomorphic figures standing side by side. The figure which stands to the left holds up a club and a plowshare rests against his left shoulder. The figure on the right grasps a disc-like object and a club. These attributes allow us to identify these figures as Balaram with his hal and musal and Vasudeva Krishna with his gada and chakra. Both are clothed in skirt-like garments similar to those on the Agathocles coins. They both appear to have headdresses. Their identity is confirmed by the Kharoshti inscription that accompanies these images, which read, Ram, these deities had become a pair. They appear again in group 7. Fussman reads the two inscriptions that accompany the rock engravings as Valadevo or Baladeva and Vasuvo or Vasudeva. The execution of these figures is somewhat cruder than those in Group 1. The Baladeva image is noticeably larger than that of Vasudeva. Moreover, the figures of the deity seem to be naked. Since their attributes are difficult to associate with known types, the images would have been difficult to identify were it not for their labels. The Vasudeva figure has his right hand raised and the left by his hip, but the attributes are not clear. The Baladeva or Balarama figure holds a lance-like object in his right hand. Dani thought this to be a plough, but this is doubtful. Compared to later representations of these gods from the rest of South Asia, the iconography of the Balaram and Vasudeva images from Chalas is different. It is closest to the early coin images of Agathocles. Since they are labeled, they confirm the identification of the Agathocles images. This is particularly true for the images from Group 1. The Group 7 images are more difficult to associate iconographically. Of interest here is the height difference between the two images. According to Fussman, the larger size of Balaram, the senior, older brother, attests to his greater importance. He believes that the Vaishnav cult was well implanted in the Northwest because the coins of Agathocles and the rock engravings display iconographic familiarity. He goes on to suggest that image prototypes would have existed in the region by the 2nd century BCE. These may have been either cult statues or painted panels, and they would have been copied. However, such prototypal images have yet to be found in the Northwest. But for now, we have to deal with the extant evidence. The earliest anthropomorphic iconography within the Indian religious cults appear by the 2nd, 1st century BCE. The discovery of such icons from the early 2nd century BCE alone is remarkable, since they belong to the earliest anthropomorphic images from the historical period unearthed to date. It is unlikely that there would have been older ones. It is also worth noting that these coin and rock images are not monumental in any way. Like the anthropomorphic images from the Bronze Age, they're small, which shows that the larger scale images from Mathura were yet to evolve. Their early date is also corroborated by the iconographic experimentation that characterizes their appearance, which suggests that the standardized norms had not yet been established. On paleographic grounds, the images from Chalas II have been dated between 50 BCE and 50 CE. The Vaishnav rock engravings from Chalas are not unique. A painting of Balaram and Vasudeva was found on some rock shelters near Tikula village in central India, 56 kilometers south of Gwalior in Madhya Pradesh. A Brahmi inscription supplies the name of the artist. The painting depicts three figures who stand frontally with both arms extended sideways. The figure in the center is larger than the others, although this may have been an afterthought since the legs of the central figure have been extended. He sports a beard and mustache and wears a diadem-like object on his head. This resembles the peacock feather associated with later images of Krishna. However, it is also similar to the turbans of the pre-Kushan and early Kushan Mathura. In his outstretched left hand, the central figure holds a round, disc-like object with spokes, clearly a chakra. In his right hand, he holds up an object which, on account of the circles that surround it, is likely to be a club. His torso is bare but for a sacred thread shown diagonally across his chest. He wears a lower garment and his feet point to the right. The figure to his right is portrayed in similar fashion. He holds a plowshare in his right hand and a smaller version of the club in his outstretched left hand. His lower garment resembles a grass skirt and two lines make a saltire cross on his bare torso. He has a round object on his head and is clean shaven. Both figures wear kundala type hanging earrings. The third figure on the far right side of the rock is smaller than the other two and is clothed in an upper and a lower garment. It appears to wear a headdress and long earrings. This figure is an attendant who holds up a parasol over the head of the central figure, who must therefore be divine. Because one outstretched hand holds a chakra, the central figure is Vasudeva. The figure to his right is his brother Balaram, holding a plowshare. Noamaya dates this painting to the 2nd century BCE. However, in line with the Chilas images, I would date it to the 1st century BCE, going into the 1st century CE. Corroborative evidence of an early Vaishnav cult in central India comes from an incised rock shelter from the village of Tunda in the Shivpuri district of Madhya Pradesh, containing a Brahmi inscription of around the 1st century BCE. This informs us of a Shiva Rakshita, a son of Kaushiki, and Krishna Rakshita, who was a Bhagavata devotee.
I need the slide now.
I don't know if I can read, but I shall try. The best known central Indian inscription from this period appears on a Garuda pillar at Vidisha. It records the erection of a Garuda Dhwaja in honor of Deva Deva Vasudeva. It was commissioned by Heliodorus, son of Dion and resident of Taxila, the ambassador of the Indo-Greek king Antiochus, king of Taxila between 115 and 95 BCE, to the court of King Kashiputra Bhagabhadra at Vidisha in his 14th regnal year. The pillar is located in front of a Vasudeva temple. Heliodorus describes himself as Bhagavata. The king has been identified as Bhagavata, mentioned in the Puranas. He was the penultimate Shunga monarch and the 9th king of the dynasty, who reigned around 100 BCE. Archaeologists have long searched for the remains of the Vasudeva temple at Vidisha. In 1913-15, D.R. Bhandarkar excavated near the Heliodorus pillar. He found the retaining wall of the platform on which the temple must have been erected, along with some railings, but the temple eluded him. In 1963-65, M.D. Khare discovered the original elliptical temple. The temple disappeared because its superstructure was probably made of wood. He also unearthed, to the east of the temple, the foundations of 7 similar pillars. In other words, there were originally 8 pillars erected in a row. Besides the standing Garuda Dhwaja column, which is this one, dedicated to Vasudeva, the site yielded further capitals with palm leaf and Makara designs, as well as the Kalpadruma, which is now in the Indian Museum in Calcutta. These capitals would originally have crowned some of the other pillars. The Tala Dhwaja, or the palm leaf capital, was probably dedicated to Sankarsana Balaram, and the Makara Dhwaja to Pradyumna. On the basis of stratigraphy, numismatic finds, NBP ware, and iron objects, Khare dated this temple to the 4th, 3rd century BCE. A shaft fragment of another octagonal Garuda pillar from Besnagar was discovered by H.H. Lake, the Gwalior state engineer, in one of the streets of Bhilsa, which is today the city of the town of Vidisha in Madhya Pradesh. Its Brahmi inscription describes the erection of this pillar in the 12th year of the Maharaja Bhagavata, who is identified with the same Bhagavadra of the Heliodorus inscription. It is likely that it stemmed from the Vasudeva temple and may be one of the 8 pillars commemorating the Vrishni heroes. However, it could also have come from another Bhagavata temple at Vidisha. The Heliodorus inscription is important for several reasons. It furnishes us with datable information about the Bhagavata cult during the reigns of Bhagabhadra in central India and Antiochides in the northwest. Moreover, it gives us insight into the practice of this faith in Taxila, adding to the evidence deduced from the Agathocles coins. The inscription enables us also to postulate a connection between Vishnu and Vasudeva, since the Garuda column was erected in front of a Vasudeva shrine. Garuda is the vehicle of the later Vishnu, and such pillars are routinely found in later Vishnu temples. Excavations at Vidisha suggest that the temple existed by the 2nd century BCE, if not earlier. Undoubtedly, it would have contained images, although we can only speculate about their iconography. Because pillars were also erected to Sankarsana and Pradyumna, we now have a better picture of the Vrishni cult. Evidence for the early Bhagavata cult is also found in inscriptions from several other Indian sites. The Ghoshandi inscription was found on a stone slab by the entrance to a tank in the village of Ghoshandi in Rajasthan. However, originally it came from Nagari or ancient Madhyamika, the seat of the Shibi Janapada. Three versions of this inscription have survived, suggesting that it was placed in different positions on the stone enclosure wall. All versions were written in early Brahmi and have been dated paleographically to around the second half of the 1st century BCE. The Ghoshandi inscription records the erection by a certain Gajayan of a stone enclosure wall or a Puja Shila Prakara for the worship of Sankarsana and Vasudeva within the enclosure of Narayana. During excavations, D.R. Bhandarkar discovered at the site an inscription of the 7th century CE declaring the structure on which it was located to be the enclosure wall of a Vishnu temple. As a result, Bhandarkar concluded that the Ghoshandi inscription had been removed from the Haribara or Nagari enclosure wall. Below the floor level of the Sankarsana Vasudeva temple, he uncovered the remains of an earlier elliptical temple, likely to have had a wooden superstructure. Coins of the Shibi Janapada were found, dated to the middle of the 2nd century BCE, which led him to date the earlier structure between 300 and 250 BCE. The Ghoshandi inscription implies that images of the deities would originally have been erected in the temple. Agrawal speculates that these images would have been made of stone, since such a monumental wall would not have been built around a minor temple containing insignificant cult icons. The site, however, has not yielded any such images. Besides its reference to images of Sankarsana and Vasudeva, the inscription also establishes a link between Sankarsana, Vasudeva and Narayana. It speaks of the erection of a stone enclosure in the Narayana compound, Narayan Vataka, for Sankarsana and Vasudeva. Another inscription of comparable date and from the same region of Rajasthan has come to light on a pillar at Amvaleshwara. It records the erection of a stone pillar by a Bhagavata follower. This confirms the prominence of the Bhagavata cult in parts of Rajasthan during the 2nd, 1st centuries BCE. We also have epigraphic evidence from other parts of India. The Nanaghat cave inscription in Maharashtra of Queen Nayanika, the widow of Sri Satakarni of the Shatavahana dynasty, records the performance of a Vedic sacrifice. Significantly, it begins with an invocation to various deities which include Sankarsana and Vasudeva, who are referred to as descendants of the moon. It dates to the first half of the 1st century CE after the death of Sri Sankarsana, mentioned before Vasudeva. Although within the Pancharatra system, Vasudeva is the most important deity. Chanda deduces that the inscriptions mirror the earlier epic tradition which recognizes Sankarsana as the older brother and therefore as the senior. We noted already at Chilas that the larger image of the two depicted Sankarsana. Moreover, it is Sankarsana who received the place of honor on the obverse of Agathocles' coins, the place usually reserved for the king's image. In other words, we have here a tradition depicting a relationship between the two brothers which was changed once Vasudeva attained supremacy within the cult. The fragmentary Morawell inscription from Mathura records the erection of images of the deified heroes or the Panchaviras of the Vrishni clan in a stone temple by a certain Tosha. The Panchaviras were identified by Banerjee as Sankarsana, Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Shamba and Aniruddha. The inscription is from the time of the Mahashatrapa Sodasa and can therefore be dated to the early 1st century CE. A mound nearby yielded two male torsos. One is illustrated here. Both lack heads and limbs. They have full protruding bellies and are executed in great detail, adorned with girdles, garlands, necklaces, uttariyas, and earrings. It is generally agreed that these sculptures are the remains of two statues of the five Vrishni Viras, which were once enshrined in a temple at Mora. Thus, they are contemporary with the inscription from the time of Shodasa and date to the early 1st century, around 15 CE. Additional information about the Vasudeva cult in the 1st century CE Mathura is found in other inscriptions from the area. For example, a fragmentary inscription from the Jamalpur mound dated to the reign also of Mahakshatrapa Sodasa between 10 and 25 CE refers to Mulavasu, the Brahmin treasurer who built a reservoir, a garden, a pillar and a Shilapatta. According to DC Sarkar, the image on the Shilapatta was of Vasudeva. Another inscription on a large stone slab discovered near Mirjapur village records that Pakshaka, wife of the Brahmin Mulavasu, ordered the excavation of a tank and the construction of a garden, an assembly hall, a well, a pillar and a Shilapatta bearing the image of Shri. Sharma holds that the wording refers to the Shri Vatsa symbol carved at the beginning of the inscription rather than to an actual image of the goddess. Quintanilla, on the other hand, suggests that the Shilapatta is in fact an Aigapatta with a carved image of the goddess. A third related fragmentary inscription was found on a Mathura door jamb. It too dates to the time of Shodasa. The text records the donation of a Torana and Vedika set up in the Mahasthan of Bhagavan Vasudeva by a certain Vasu, who may be the son of Pakshaka and Mulavasu. It is likely that the gift was intended for an important Vasudeva temple in Mathura. These inscriptions, possibly all from one important family, provide evidence for the construction of a major temple erected in honor of Vasudeva in the Mathura region. They also established that this family were patrons and Bhagavata devotees. The fact that the Shilapatta in the mother's inscription bears the image of Shri and is connected to the Vasudeva temple mentioned in the son's inscription is important. It shows that a link already existed between the cults of Shri Lakshmi and Vasudeva. Moreover, it confirms that Vasudeva and Vishnu were associated, since Shri is the consort of Vishnu rather than of Vasudeva Krishna. These inscriptions furnish vital information about the early Bhagavata cult. Although a few cult images have survived, many inscriptions confirm their existence by the 2nd-1st centuries BCE and early 1st century CE. In other words, some of the earliest anthropomorphic cult images from South Asia were commissioned by followers of Vasudeva. Let us now examine the iconographical forms of freestanding cult icons. I need some slides. Although we have evidence of images of Vasudeva and Balaram on the coins of Agathocles and on rock engravings, early cult images in other media are not very frequent. Some important early images of Sankarsana Balaram were found in North India. One of them, this one, stems from Jansuti near Mathura. It depicts Balaram with a club and plough and has been dated to the Shunga period around the 2nd century BCE. However, if compared to other images, it is more likely to belong to the 1st century BCE. The Balaram figures, which have been found from many sites in northern and central India, demonstrate their derivation from Naga cult figures, like this one from Mathura. And from nearby Mathura at Sonk, a Naga temple has been excavated, which was probably the reason for Balaram's early popularity. Freestanding stone images of Vasudeva before the 1st century CE have not yet been identified. Since the Vrishni Viras from Mora lack all limbs which would hold their attributes, they cannot be identified individually. Srinivasan attempted to identify them on the basis that a third headless torso from the site represents a female and this iconography. A beautiful buff sandstone fragment represents the Chaturvyuha form of Vasudeva Vishnu. It depicts an experimental stage in the iconography of the god introduced to express the religious changes that took place within the Vyuha doctrine of the day. The central figure is a four-armed Vishnu figure identified by the exquisitely crafted Kirita Mukuta that he wears on his head. The lower part of the sculpture, down from the waist, would have been about 3 feet high, or Shankha or conch shell. Agrawal argues that his rare right hand originally rested on the top of the mace. In fact, the remnants of a hand are still visible on the surviving portion of the beautifully carved club. That's the club. He speculates that the rare left hand would have held a chakra. This central Vasudeva Vishnu figure is sculpted in the Kushan style, adorned with an elaborate flowered necklace or vanamala, as well as armlets and bracelets. The round face is calm and introspective in the style of the Kanishka period. In Buddha-like fashion, an urna sits between the brows. From the top of the Kirita Mukuta emerges a further figure. It is headless but grasps a vajra in its left hand. His right hand is raised in the Abhaya Mudra. It has a jeweled necklace while the left shoulder is covered by an uttariya. Two more figures emerge from the shoulders of the main figure. The one emerging from the left shoulder is broken off. From his right appears a slumped figure holding a wine cup in his left hand, whose head is covered with a snake hood. This figure must be Sankarsana Balaram, since he is frequently depicted in this manner during the Kushan period, holding a wine goblet. In other words, this is a Kushan period depiction of the Chaturvoha form of Vasudeva Vishnu, where the three other Vrishni Viras were incorporated as Vyuhas. It follows that the other two subsidiary images on the head and to the left would have represented Pradyumna and Aniruddha. The Vyuhas spring from the fountainhead when they emerge from the head of Vasudeva. The statue features a carving of an Ashoka tree with a parrot sitting on its branches on the back. It is difficult to gauge the date of this exceptional sculpture, but from its developed style and iconography, I would date it to the Hovishka period or later, that is, during the middle or end of the 2nd century CE, going into the early 3rd century. This must have been a very important cult object, since the quality of the workmanship is superb. Srinivasan identified a colossal sculpture from Mathura as a representation of Narayan. It was originally more than 8 feet high. The style of the sculpture is strikingly different from other large images from the Mathura region. It depicts a two-armed figure with a mustache and pointed beard. The hair has been gathered and is arranged around the head. A tilaka mark appears on the forehead. An antelope skin is draped over the bare torso along with the Yajnapavita. The torso tapers at the waist. The raised right hand holds an Akshamala, while the broken left hand appears to hold a Kamandalu. The lower skirt-like garment falls in vertical striations and is tied at the waist. It resembles a grass skirt, perhaps composed of kusha grass. Srinivasan dates this image to the early Kushan period on the basis of its stylistic similarities with Kapardin images of the Buddha. Giant Brahmanical images are rare, and the representation of an ascetic in this way even more so. This causes Srinivasan to speculate that it cannot depict an ordinary sage, but must be the image of a divine being. Narayan is the divine Brahmanical Rishi par excellence. His cult is attested in the Narayaniya section of the Mahabharata, as well as in the Ghoshandi inscription that we've considered previously. Srinivasan thinks that the image defines the divine nature of this supreme god. It represents the god as Mahapurusha. Corroborative evidence comes from the site of Sunait in Punjab, where a Narayan temple was unearthed. This discovery underlies the importance of the Narayan cult during the Kushan and Gupta periods. So far, we have traced the influence of pre-existing iconographies on Kushan period images in Mathura. We noted in particular the influence exerted by the Bodhisattva-type standing figures, the use of the turban on early images, the Abhaya Mudra of the right hand, and even the Urna. The Srivatsa symbol on the chest had not yet been widely introduced. There is only one example from the Kushan period. Can you see it? Just vaguely there. It appears on the chest of an inscribed, headless, standing, four-armed Varaha who holds the sun and moon in his upper hands. Vishnu riding on Garuda is also rare at this early stage. Here is an example of a Garuda image from Kushan period Mathura. Krishna Leela depictions are almost absent. It is worth noting that there is no difference between Vasudeva Krishna and Vishnu iconography in any of these images that we have considered. They would all appear to depict one amalgamated deity. Vrishni kinship triads have also been found in Kushan Mathura. They usually represent the brothers Vasudeva Krishna and Sankarsana Balaram with their sister Ekanamsa in the center. The Mathura examples are mostly small and damaged. There's only one triad from Devangar in Bihar, which represents the three deities as individual freestanding images. Moreover, they are quite large and relatively undamaged. One of the figures has a snake hood over his head, this one. This is Sankarsana, portrayed as a Vrishni clan hero. His right hand is in the abhaya and left holds the plough. The female figure has her right hand in abhaya. While it is not clear what she holds in her left hand, this figure must be the Vrishni goddess Ekanamsa. According to holds a lotus in her right hand, while and Krishna. In Kushan Mathura images, however, we never see a lotus. The third standing figure is four-armed. He holds a conch in the natural left hand and a disc in his upper left. The natural right is in the abhaya and the upper right grasps a club. He is Vasudeva Krishna, depicted as part of the Vrishni family triad. Significantly, the figures reveal the influence of the Mathura school. The bellies are soft and protruding. The legs are in Samapada, similar to those of Bodhisattvas from Mathura. The turbans which crown the male heads resemble the turbans in pre-Kushan and Kushan art. These three images have been variously dated to the Kushan, late Kushan, or the early Gupta transition periods. I am inclined to date them to the reign of Huvishka in the late 2nd or early 3rd centuries, since these images from neighboring Bihar contain so many early Kushan, so much of the early Kushan idiom. From the Kushan period onwards, turning to the northwest, Vishnu images were crafted all over the subcontinent. In the northwest, however, apart from the coins of Agathocles and the petroglyphs, there is little early evidence for the Vasudeva Vishnu cult. Rapin has tried, without success in my opinion, to identify the triad of Sankarsana Balaram, Vasudeva Krishna and Ekanamsa, or Subhadra, on an engraved horn cylinder from Takti Sangin in Bactria, dated to the 1st century BCE. He also suggested that the temples of Jandial Si and Mora Maleran at Taxila may have had Vaishnav dedications, which he dates to the 2nd and mid-1st century BCE, respectively. There is little evidence for such a hypothesis. However, the fact that the avowed Vaishnav devotee Heliodorus was a resident of Taxila indicates that there may have been a continued Vaishnav presence in the city around the 2nd, 1st century BCE. In fact, a relief depicting Vishnu was found in Monastery G of the Dharmarajika Stupa complex. But it's probably dated to around the 6th century, if not later. Other Vaishnav sculptures have occasionally been found in the northwest, but they're all quite late. In this context, a seal from the northwest, although late, is of importance. It depicts a large four-armed deity facing a princely worshipper who stands with folded hands to the side. The deity is crowned and appears in three-quarter profile. While his upper body is bare, he wears a dhoti below. The torso is well delineated and his feet are in relaxed posture. Two of his attributes are clearly visible, a knobbly club and a large wheel. The attributes in the other hands are uncertain. They could be a conch shell and a ring, or alternatively a sun disc and a rosary. The seal is inscribed in Bactrian. The inscription, coupled with the Gupta, late Sasanian and Hephthalite elements such as the ribbons of the crown, the posture, as well as the headdress of the prince, all point to the 5th century as its likely period of origin. Thus, except for those early 1st century, 2nd century BCE images that we have of Vasudeva Krishna, It seems that from the intervening centuries, we have nothing until, again, the 5th, 6th centuries from the northwest. It was probably during the transition from the Kushan to the Gupta period that Vasudeva Krishna came to be replaced by Vishnu in Indian art. Gradually, the iconography of statues became more and more standardized. This is reflected in two images I examine next. The first is a beautiful black schist Vishnu from Bhinmal in Rajasthan. It depicts a four-armed standing Vishnu wearing a decorated rectangular-shaped Kirita Mukhara. The upper arms are broken. Only the fingers of the right hand, once clasped around the club, have survived. The upper left is likely to have held a chakra. His lower right is raised in abhaya, and the lower left holds a shankha. Shah originally dated this image to the 4th century, but later suggested an earlier date. I would date it to the 3rd, 4th century, given its proximity to many Kushan period Mathura images. The second Mathura image is complete. It's this one. Here, a four-armed Vishnu holds the complete set of attributes, club, disc, and concha. However, his lower right hand, unusually, is in the Varada Mudra. He wears a long vanamala instead of those early vanamalas which were around the neck. Now we start to see the long vanamala which reaches down to the knees, and a rectangular box-shaped crown. This statue dates to the beginning of the 4th century. During the Gupta period, the standard iconography was extended by several additions, most notably the personified weapons of Ayodhya Purusha, Gada Devi, and Chakra Purusha that was added to Vishnu images. Let me end by showing a few Gupta period images from various sites in central India. And you start to see in these images the very well-developed halos. This again is from central India, and I think one of the finest Gupta period examples of Vishnu. It was around this time that we start to get Krishna Leela episodes, such as these depictions of Krishna lifting Mount Govardhan. This is from the Banaras area. The previous one was from, this is from Mathura. This is Krishna stealing the butter from the Banaras region. And this enormous Krishna lifting Mount Govardhan is again from the Banaras region. Now, what I thought was, I have a lot of material on Lakshmi, but I thought I'd just quickly show you some slides of Lakshmi images to show you just how the Lakshmi cult develops and gets connected to the cult of Vishnu. The earliest images of mother goddesses that were found in India, this is one of the earliest mother goddesses. It's from the stupa relic of Lore Nandangarh, and it's a gold plaque and shows a mother goddess figure standing in this very kind of static pose. But we start to see this pose replicated many times on ring stones and disc stones that show us the very well-developed concept of the mother goddess and the associations with fertility in these stones. This is also from the same region, Eastern India, Murtazi Ganj. But such disc stones like this one have also been found in Taxila. They all show this very static image of the standing mother goddess. From these images are developed the early Lakshmi iconography. This is an image from the railings of the Bharhut stupa in central India. And this image has an inscription calling it Sirima Devata. And and one more image, early image of the goddess Shri, an inscribed image has been found from Gandhara, this one, with an inscription calling her Shri.
Could I have
thanks? Oh, sorry. Many plaques were also found from northern India, from sites such as Kaushambi, where an aspect of the goddess Lakshmi is shown standing on the lotus, as well as sometimes holding the lotus, Padma Sthita and Padma Hasta, and in this case, standing within a lotus tank. And we also have from eastern India aspects of the goddess shown sharing coins, which is being collected by this follower. There are many images of goddesses shown holding the breast, which emphasizes the nurturing aspect of the goddess, various goddesses who then combined to form the iconography of goddess Lakshmi, as can be seen on this example, where she is again standing on lotus, very large lotuses, and holding her breast, at the same time also pointing to her pubic region, all aspects of the fertility that is absolutely issuing out of her. Again, from a pot, a terracotta pot from eastern India, we see her being lustrated. And this is the same aspect that then gets incorporated in the Gajalakshmi iconography of the goddess. Some of the earliest images of Gajalakshmi appear from a Buddhist context, and this is from Sanchi Stupa II. From Bharhut as well, 1st century BC, showing her being lustrated, standing on lotus pots, seated, as well as from the famous Toranas of Sanchi Stupa I, which are slightly later, around the 1st century CE, as we can see here, seated on the lotus. This is from the Pithalkora Buddhist rock cut cave shrine. And we see her also on coins. This is Indo-Scythian king Azalaises' coin of around the 1st century CE. Now, this is all emphasizing the presence of a goddess cult of Lakshmi, which is, to begin with, an independent cult derived out of the mother goddess's cults, and then her incorporation within both Buddhism and later Hinduism. And it's at the time of these images of Mathura where we start to see Lakshmi images, Gajalakshmi images from Mathura, that we start to see her being incorporated within the Vasudeva cult. So the connection with the Vasudeva Krishna cult starts to happen in Mathura around the 2nd century CE, as was shown by that inscription that I read earlier about the Vaishnava family. The fact that the iconography of Lakshmi was formulated by the 2nd century BC demonstrates that Lakshmi was one of the most important cult deities. We have more images of her than of Shiva and Vishnu, for example. This is thrown into even sharper relief when we remember that at this time the iconography of other deities was only just starting to emerge, with the possible exception of Surya, Vasudeva Krishna and the Yakshas. Lakshmi was so powerful that her cult spread not only throughout the subcontinent but also permeated the different faiths and sects. Her cult attracted devotees indiscriminately across sectarian lines, taking no account of the neat divisions constructed by art history to categorize the expected formulae of Hindu, Buddhist and Jain iconography. We must dissolve the rigid sectarian lines to take account of the undoubted cultic fluidity of the early